At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Comeback Stories is a production of Inflection Network and iHeartRadio.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We're here for another episode of Comeback Stories, and today we are here with Sybil Fox and Rob Richardson, known as Fox and Rob, who are a New Orleans couple whose marriage survived despite years of incarceration. So their story was profiled in a documentary called Time, and then their book is called Time, The Untold Story of Love That Held Us Together When Incarceration Kept Us Apart. Welcome to the show, Fox and Rob.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. What a title, Comeback Stories, huh?
Hey, we all have one and we all love one. And I think we're about to hear another epic comeback story from the both of you. Darren, I don't know, have we had a guest, like a duo ever before?
No, I was going to bring up, this is the first time we've ever had a duo, but I feel like as we dive deep in, we'll see how, you know, just through you guys' love and the endurance of that love, how you guys are one. So it's really like we're interviewing one person, but it's two, you know?
We received that one, Darren.
Could you guys start and maybe just give us a little background of the two of you, and then how the two of you became one?
Oh, wow. I guess it would take us all the way back to 1987, where we met as high school sweethearts through a mutual friend of ours. Now, it depends on which one of us you ask this particular question as far as the answer that you get, because there's my version as to how we met, and then, of course, there's Fox's version as to how it is.
Right, one is the truth.
And you know mine is correct.
So I'm going to give my version, but the version that I hold to is that Fox and I met while she and a girlfriend of hers was shooting hooky from school one day.
We were taking a mental health day.
Right. And that's our story. She's sticking to it. And on said mental health day, the mutual friend that we shared needed a ride home and knew that I was home visiting from the military on leave. Went by to offer them a ride. Fox answered the door. From the moment she answered the door, something came over me that I think some people may call a keen to our love at first sight. So it was going to take maybe the rest of the day in order for me to actually figure that part out, whether or not she had had me smitten in such a way. Crazy enough, I ended up inviting my friend over. He came over with us. And then, long story short, he tried calling Fox later to no avail. And later on that night, I came back home realizing that I hadn't used the phone since the last time that a friend of mine made the phone call to Fox. Oh. And we had an old service that used to be in place back then called Star 69. So I hit Star 69 and it went right back to Fox's number, to which I started talking to her. And then she immediately stopped me and she says, wait a minute. She said, I thought that you were Wanda's man. Wanda is the mutual friend that I mentioned at the onset. Well, I said, well, no, Wanda and I are just friends. She said, well, that's not what she told me. And I took the advantage of yet another service we used to have called three-way. And I said, well, why don't we call it all three-way? That way we can hash all of this out. So she ended up calling it all three-way. And probably about a few minutes into the conversation, I saw that Wanda was continuously misrepresenting our relationship. So I cut in. And I said, well, Dad, how did we get to this point? You know, of course, she was busted in the moment. She conceded. And to say the least, thereafter, Fox and I stayed on the
phone. I was in love at that point, you know. But that was 1987, and here we are 36 years later, 26 years in matrimony, 6 sons that we have raised together after having served 21 years as a formerly incarcerated couple in Louisiana before we received clemency from our governor in 2018, and actually the only family in the state of Louisiana that received clemency out of over 2,000 applicants in 2018. So if that's not a comeback story for you, I just don't know what he is.
So to answer your question, Darren, it was at that moment, after spending 21 years separated and apart from one another, that Fox and Rob were born. It was a constant reminder to us to never do anything to create that level of separation between us again. Man. Hence, we spell our names as one, Foxandrob. Kind of like Paul to Saul. Saul to Paul. It was a transformation moment for us.
You know, coming from, you talk about not wanting to create that separation ever again. And I feel like it's important to highlight how that separation came about, because I feel like there are certain people in America that may see as somebody that may have committed a crime. And it's like, you know, they don't know the story behind it. They don't know the human experience behind it. Could you enlighten us on what may have led you to do what you had to do? Like, what was your human experience and your story that led you up to feel like that was a decision that you had to make just for your own life?
Well, I think one, I have to say thank you for explaining it as such. It was a human experience. And as long as we keep living, we're going to have just those human experiences is what makes us human. And for us, after 6 months of being married, Rob and I had launched our first business, had finally put our family together after 10 years of dating off and on again. And in the midst of launching our first business, our investor pulled out on us. Without any type of answers as to why or what changed or any of that. And we panicked between the investor pulling out on us, the new home we had purchased as our first family home. We discovered it had a cracked foundation and a bad leak in the roof, where the whole second addition of the house was faulty. In the midst of that, if that wasn't enough, the department that I was teaching in full time ended the division in which I was teaching, so I lost my job. And if that wasn't enough, our youngest son started having seizures that they couldn't diagnose, landing us with a ton of medical bills. And so if there is a place in this life that is called the end of your rope, we found ourselves there in 1997. And when you're at the end of your rope, I think one of those things that holds us grounded is our moral compass. And depending on how far you go down that rabbit hole or how dark you allow things to get for you, Darren and Donnie, it depends on the decisions that you make at your lowest points. I've heard it said that circumstances don't reveal the man or woman, don't make the man or woman, they reveal them to themselves. And so in that moment, with our faith being tested, our moral compass got off, and we figured if we couldn't get it the right way, we would succeed by any means necessary. And it was that mentality of what we call the American dream syndrome. When you're willing to do whatever you got to do to succeed or to obtain the American dream, it took over us and landed us to making a decision that we would end up regretting for the rest of our lives. So in 1997, we're faced with financial challenges. To spell it all out for you, we tried to regain financial solvency by taking money from a credit union.
I've heard you use the quote, desperate people do desperate things. And I can relate so much to that. And Darren and I's, our backgrounds come from addiction, and we're currently in recovery. And when I heard that quote from you, Fox, it just made me think about all of the desperate things that I did in the depths of my addiction, and in so many cases just really didn't get caught. Or if I did get caught, the consequences, it looked different. But I can relate so much, because at my rock bottom, I mean, the decisions that I was making were out of complete desperation, and they were not wise decisions at all.
But I think that's where the power lies, isn't it? I mean, when we hit rock bottom, Rob and I have a quote where we say, one thing about rock bottom is once you reach it, there's nowhere to go from there but up.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, you know, like Donnie said, as being a former addict and talking about that human experience, I always try to let people know and inform them that I didn't just want to become a drug addict just because I wanted to run my life into the ground, or I wanted to make poor decisions, or I wanted to have this be my legacy. I was just somebody that wanted to change my circumstance, wanted to change how I was feeling. And ultimately, those small decisions lead to a place where, yeah, your moral compass is off. But at the end of the day, it's about trying to get people to see people like us as people and not as our mess, because our mess may be where we're currently at, but that's not who we ultimately are. And
that's right.
That's a message that we have to keep pushing, because it's so easy to just stereotype somebody, or you see something go across the TV and be like, oh man, what's he doing? Like, he's tripping. Like, why would he make that decision? But it's way more uncomfortable to sit down with that person, sit across from them, talk to them, get to know them, and see, like, hey, we all people that are really just trying to, you know,
that's right.
Avoid our fear, get over our fears, you know, step into a life that we want to live and provide and protect and all these things. We all have the same goals, and we all have the same heart posture at the end of the day, if we can allow ourselves to get there.
I like that heart posture. Yeah. So true.
So can you walk us through what the sentencing was, what the criminal system looked like back then, and then what came up for the both of you as you were faced with that sentence?
I think it's important to note for people that are listening in that the time that I was sentenced was 1997. And this was just at the point that the Clinton crime bill had kicked in at that moment. The Clinton crime bill created a thing called Truth in Sentencing that required states who receive federal funding from the federal government to sentence people convicted of crimes to serve out 85% of the sentence that had been handed down as a result of those monies that states had taken for, you know, people committing crimes. With that being said, I received, as a first offender, a 60-year sentence. My nephew received a 45-year sentence, and my wife, two 7-year sentences and a 5-year sentence, you know, all as first offenders in a crime that no one received, no one died from the crime. No one was hurt, physically hurt from the crime. And by no stretch of the imagination do I berate the trauma that that takes place when someone takes something of value from you, whether by note, by firearm, or whatever it may be. The fact still remains is that it's a traumatic moment for you. But what was equally as traumatic for us on the other side of that was the heavy sanctions that had been handed out to us, especially when you kind of looked out over the landscape as far as what the national average was for people committing similar acts, as well as a parish average for the parish where the crimes themselves were committed. So these sentences were really outside of the social norms for what had been happening both in the nation as well as in the parish that had happened there. So to say that we were bewildered, that we were flabbergasted, we were floored. I thought for sure that maybe he was reading from someone else's sentencing transcript in our particular matter. But it wasn't until we got the paperwork ourselves that we realized that, okay, there was no mistake made here. This was just flat out injustice, you know, at a whole nother level. So probably therein began our fight.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
So, Fox, I'd like to know when, at what point did it go from, okay, like this is... unacceptable, this needs to change, to you wanting to step in and be like, okay, like I'm gonna do something about this, or I'm gonna do my part in seeing change come about?
Probably the first night I went to prison. It was one thing to be housed in the jail in the parish, but when I actually was remanded to the Department of Justice, for me it was in that moment of seeing how they were warehousing human beings and how it was that man, just the deplorable conditions that they had U.S. citizens living in stateside, not in a third world country, and the treatment of those human beings. And I honestly thought that as an American citizen, when we were casting our citizens into incarceration, that we were doing so to rehabilitate them and make them come out better citizens like they do in other industrialized nations. But I did not realize how entrenched slavery still is currently in the United States, and that our prison system is a slave system by a new name. And so my prayer when I got to prison was, Lord, just let me use my voice for the voiceless that are here. I had a master's degree by the time I went to prison. And what I learned while I was there was I met the first adult in my life that could not read or write. And not was it just one, it was many of them striving to get just a literacy education in jail, in prison, less than lonely a GED while they were incarcerated. And so I understood that I had a responsibility that maybe it wasn't just my action or me losing my moral compass that got me here, but that I could use this for the greater good of mankind and take my transgressions and transform them to really become a voice for the voiceless, Darren, because we've all got a calling, and sometimes we can let our downfalls and life be our pitfalls and we stay there, or we can let them be our springboards for the work that we're supposed to do in this life. And that's what Rob and I and our entire family, our six sons, they bought in as well, to understand that this system had done an injustice to our family. Certainly, we deserve to be chastised for our transgressions, but we did not deserve the treatment that our state sanctioned against us. And sometimes when these systems don't do right by the people it represents, it is the people's responsibility. It is our duty to address the system. It is our duty to fight for our freedom, Brother Darren. It is our duty to win. And so we set out to win. We set out to show them that you do this to me, then as I say in Time Movie, if you haven't seen it, check it out on Amazon Prime. nominated for an Oscar in 2021, the most honored documentary of 2020. And that is, I say, success is the best revenge. How do we get back at a system that was intentional about destroying us and our family? We succeed anyway.
Rob, I've heard you say, so you're faced with this sentence and you say, if I'm going to get through this, I'm going to have to use some of those core principles that you know to be true. What were those core principles for you that you had to put into practice when you were incarcerated?
Probably some of the ones that stand out most was from my uncle. He had given me some rules to live by when I first went off to prison. And those rules basically consisted of, for one, I knew that I had to stand like a man. I knew that I had to speak truth to falsehood. And I knew that if I was ever going to get through this, I knew that in order for me to get through it, I had to come into it with an attitude that I would never give up, that I would not allow defeat to be the end result of my fight. So it means that I had to fight tooth and nail. And so with that being said, I started, redirecting my energy, started redirecting my thoughts. I started learning how to read the law because, one of the things that you realize is that when you're in a fight, no one's going to fight as hard for you as you're willing to fight for yourself. And with that being said, I knew that it wasn't necessarily going to be a lawyer that was going to get me out, because at the end of the day, lawyers go home and they go to soccer meetings and PTA meetings with their kids, and they hang out with their wives and their friends, between work hours and those things. And I'm not on their mind, me or none of their other clients. But for me and our family, we breathe, we slept, we ate, we walked, we talked law all day long. And it wasn't until I started practicing law or learning law on my own that I even started to see breakthroughs in my case. And that was after countless lawyers and thousands, I'm talking about tens of thousands of dollars that had been spent on lawyers that, that had no clue as to how it is that they were going to get me out, let alone the best form of representation, like cars and like medicine and those kind of things. You come to find out that there are people that are specialized, people that know how to work on engines don't necessarily know how to work on brakes. Those work on brakes don't necessarily know how to work on transmission.
Yeah.
Doctors all don't work on brains. They're not all heart surgeons. Some of them are just general practitioners. Well, in a lot of this, I realized that a lot of lawyers, when you talk about your pretrial lawyers, most of them are general practitioners of the field. They do a lot of deal cutting and that kind of stuff that happens on the front end of sentencing. But what I was in need of was a specialist. And specialists in this particular field are hard to find. When you start studying case law and those things, you start realizing that the specialist is the person that's locked up. You think about precedents and laws that change the momentum or the direction of where we go in terms of how the pendulum of justice swings. It doesn't happen as a result of an argument that took place that some fancy lawyer made inside of the court system. It happens from some jailhouse attorney that sat up in the wee hours of the night under poor lighting, that read between the lines where the writing was not necessarily written in order to, carve out an argument for fundamental justice. And they prevailed on those matters. And as a result, we get a change or we get a bend in our laws that, kind of move us in a different direction. And that didn't start happening for me and my family until I started to take responsibility for the situation that I had put myself in through my own choices.
Mm. You better speak on it.
Nah, for real, man. I think it's beautiful that what I got from you is around perspective, like, as opposed to, okay, yes, I've been dealt a pretty shitty hand, but I'm going to be an active participant in the solution here. I'm going to educate myself. I'm going to teach myself. I'm going to be a part of this, to the point where, as you do that, the type of energy, the type of miracles that you're attracting to yourself in that process is a powerful thing. And I want to know something, because you guys fighting, you guys trying to educate yourself, a lot of people would want to have that breakthrough or that change happen overnight, whereas you were in prison for 21 years. So it's like, what what do you think, looking back, like, was something that you can take from that time of, like, I wish this fight could end earlier, but still having gone through it, is there anything that's like a valuable type of lesson that comes from that, from having to wait and in just living in this instant gratification world? Is there anything we can take from that and you guys' perspective?
I think for me, and I'm going to let Rob finish it, because this brother here is one of the most patient people I've ever met in my entire life. When you talk about the patience of Job, this brother studied Job while he was in prison, and the grace of Job God gave him. But for me, it was about eating the elephant one bite at a time, knowing that as long as I get up every day and I'm biting into this elephant, doggone it, it's going to be devoured. It has. The second thing for me was about counting all my wins. Very often when the victory didn't come out the way we want it to, we'll just skip over all the other smaller wins or the wins that we need to get us. You know, it's like, I don't watch a lot of football, but my family does. But you know how they move the goal line and then you get to the next goal? It's like the first down and the second down and the third down. And you keep going down, you go get a touchdown, right? So that's what the small wins are to me. It's like the first down. And, you know, so I chill on the first down. You know, some people are like, oh, it was just the first down. I'm like, no, baby, it was a first down, you know?
Right.
So all the wins, every match, and not just the Super Bowl, but it takes all those other wins to get to the Super Bowl. And then for me, probably the last thing is that live at the moment. You know, it was at one point on our journey, I was so busy living for the day that Rob was going to come home that I realized, Brother Johnny, I wasn't living at all. I didn't even have my children living. Everything we did was, we talked about the future. When your daddy comes home, we're going to do this. When your daddy comes home, we're going to, life is going to be great. But I said, had to come to terms probably after we had done 10 years. I had to come to terms with the fact that I'm not guaranteed to see when he comes home. Truth enough, I'm working toward it. Truthfully, I believe that it's coming. But honestly, I don't know when God is going to decide that it's my last day here or his last day here. And so I can't just live for when he comes home. We have to live in the now. And so if we are an incarcerated family, yeah, we know how great we're going to be when we are a free family. But right now, we're one hellified, strong, incarcerated family. That's what we are. And we're going to celebrate that. And we're going to live in this moment and enjoy our business.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Darren, I gotta say, man, I'm loving how you've really made yourself at home in the big city. I'm curious, how are you getting around? You a subway guy, cab? Uber?
I'm glad you asked, Donnie, man. I got the honor to partner with All American Ford over in New Jersey. They've been taking really good care of me since I got out here. And that's what I love most about it, man. They treat me like I'm family, not just a customer trying to get a deal or just a statistic. You know, they give me great service. You can tell they got a commitment to quality. The innovation is unmatched. And just so if anybody's, you know, like me trying to get around in New Jersey, don't know where to go, I'm telling you, go check out All American Ford here in Jersey. They're going to take real good care of you.
When we come back, you'll hear more of this inspiring comeback story.
There's so many powerful principles that Darren and I talk about. I mean, you both are rattling them off. Rob, you had talked about redirecting your energy and redirecting your thoughts. And that's as a mindfulness teacher, meditation teacher, I mean, this is the essence of what we do, right? To everything is energy. Where our attention goes, energy flows. And as you were saying, Fox, it's like that conditional happiness, like I'll be happy, I'll be free when Rob gets out. And it's like, no, happiness happens in the now. And it brings us back to what you were just talking about being in the presence. Another word that comes up for me that I'd love to have you both touch on is acceptance. Like at what point, and I think a lot of people struggle with acceptance as they think acceptance is giving up or giving in. And I always remind people that acceptance doesn't mean you have to like it, but we do have to accept the reality of what's happened. Otherwise, we're just holding on to things that we can't control. And I think that jams us up even more.
That's right. I would have to add, too, that, Donnie, you, when you, I'm talking about almost immediately, that first thing came to me, probably one of my favorite Bible scriptures that basically says that I have learned that whatsoever state I be in, that which to be content. To be content about something doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be satisfied with the outcome or how things are happening. But what it does is that I think that there is something that is empowering about acceptance. It's in that moment, I think, that you start to build out the pathways for knowledge and insight to come in order to give you what's necessary in order to fix the problem that's in front of you. But all too often, like, you know, and when faced with conflict, when they're faced with troubles, you know, they want to check out, you know, they want to. And it's normal, I guess, because, I mean, when you think about it, Jesus almost wanted to check out. You know, he asked that the bitter cup, you know, that he was faced with, if it could be removed from his lips. Let somebody else have it. I don't want to have to go through it. But there was a moment of acceptance even for Christ when he said, but if it's your will, then let thine will be done. So in that moment, I realized that I came from an ancestry of people that had been fighting for over 400 years to undo this condition that they knew as slavery, that we now know as mass incarceration. And it was in that moment that I had to tap back in. I had to realize that the DNA that ran through those people that had fought under conditions far worse than the ones that I was facing in mass incarceration. And again, that's not to berate or denounce anything about mass incarceration, because it is about as close to slavery as you're ever going to get. But with that being said, like I said, I knew that it was in that moment that God had called me to do something special. It was up to me to transform my condition, my situation, and make people see it as something different than what had the hand that had been dealt to me.
I want to continue on the theme of the human experience. I'd love for you guys to give us a glimpse into the joy, the elation, just exuding on your day of release. But at the same time, what were the emotions of transitioning back into daily life together? Was there anxiety? Was there any level of fear? For individually and collectively, like, can you take us through the entire experience of your release?
Oh my God. It was like a bittersweet kind of moment. I mean, when you go from being in a situation where there's that you don't have the same level of stimulation. And keeping in mind too, that when I went to prison 2 years on the other side of Windows 95. You know, by the time I had come home, MySpace had become a thing and was no longer a thing by the time I had come home. When I left, you could just wave at the gas attendant and they would turn the pumps on. You pump a tank of gas, you go in and lay a 20 on the counter or whatever, and you leave back out. When I came home, gas pumps were talking to you. They were trying to sell you stuff and all kind of other things. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. You know, this is like otherworldly. You know, and it was in those moments that you kind of realize the real disservice that our Department of Justice does to those that are incarcerated, because
technology
for me while in prison was considered contraband. So the very thing that I needed to know and needed to learn in order to be functioning and, you know, proactive in society was considered contraband. To me, it was almost like in slavery when people were not allowed to read, and then all of a sudden the next day people were allowed to be free and roll, but you can't read and you couldn't read. And, you know, you're a grown man or a grown woman at this point or whatever. And it's like, well, how do I function? How do I communicate in the new world? You know, so those things were, you know, were really challenging for us as a couple, being in a space where I'd been in an overcrowded dormitory. I mean, there were more than Angola is the largest prison in the world. There's more than 6,000 men that are incarcerated where I was incarcerated. There were, you know, more than 100 men in my dormitory, more than 500 of them on the pod where I live, and more than 2,000 of them actually live in that in the yard space that we lived inside of. So you're talking about sharing five showers with 100 men. You're talking about sharing one TV with 100 men, two telephones, one kiosk, one coffee pot, one drink fountain, five sinks, six urinals. Can you imagine the conflict that is always present when you have that many men competing for something
essential?
You know what I'm saying? So coming home, you know, I was hopeful for privacy. I was hopeful for some downtime and time alone, and where I wasn't necessarily having to share my space. Whereas my wife had been fighting and battling for years so that she could actually have me back in her space, and we could be in intimate spaces, and we could be, you know, hugged up and up under each other. And that was challenging for me. You know, what was seen as a moment that you thought that I would have been excited and elated to be able to have my wife in the shower with me, it became like a thing of like, you know, like I was going through a moment, because it was like, man, I just fought to get out of this condition. You know, so it was just like those little things. We battled about how many times do married couples even supposed to have sex in a week's time. You know, thank God for Google. Because when the question is first posed, I mean, you know how it is when it comes to men. You know, when it comes to your sex drive or whatever, you know, that's something associated with your masculinity. It's associated with your ego and those kind of things. And especially when women question it on the other side of it or whatever, you know, that's a real that's a good way to make you go soft, right? You know, so just having those moments. But even in Google, thank God, you know, we realize how many times married couples actually have sex in the course of a week, by state, by country, you know what I'm saying, by continent, you know. And I realize in the moment, I'm like, oh, okay, well, our numbers are up. We're doing pretty good here, you know. But again, like I said, those are just many of the challenges that we faced as a returning couple, you know, coming back from the condition of our incarceration.
I would love to know a little bit about what makes love last. You guys were able to keep a marriage together after 21 years of incarceration. But what would you say makes love last? Like, why does one couple stay together while another falls apart? I mean, you guys were able to do it through 21 years of separation and incarceration, and most people are struggling to keep a marriage together, and they don't have any issues near like that one. So what makes it stick?
I think for me, one of the first things I would have to say is that I clearly understood that we were stronger together than we could ever be apart. I found value in numbers. When you think about the insect kingdom, you don't just see one ant, you know, you don't see an ant by itself. You see ants around. One of the things that I share when I'm speaking is that when you see a roach in your house, you know, you don't just have one roach. You got roaches. So for us, it was about if the animal kingdom, you know, lions, they travel in prides, and fish, they swim in schools. If they understand, nature understands the importance of us being together, that was something that I needed to implement in my own life, that my husband and I and our children, we were stronger together than we could ever be apart. The second thing for me is about being intentional. I was intentional that if Rob and I were not going to make it, it wasn't going to be because of the state of Louisiana said we couldn't be together. Just the fact that they were insistent about denying us our family made me more intentional to say, oh, no, if we don't make it, it'll be on our own terms. But it won't be because you said we can't make it. You said we can't be together.
Yes, it is. And it just made me think Fox and I were just watching a comedy skit on maybe Netflix or so the other night. And one of the comedians, and they had a profound moment when he made the statement, and it piggybacks off what Fox mentioned about stronger together. And he said that our goal has to be to keep our couples together, because when we keep our couples together, we keep our families together. And when we keep our families together, we keep our communities together. And I went one further in saying that when we keep our communities together, we keep our nation together. And when we keep our nations together, we keep our world together. So we understood at the smallest level, at the micro level of it all, that if we could stay together, then we can make the rest of this this work out for us. And I guess they say, the proof is in the pudding, but it is definitely in our experience at this moment, you know, because never giving up on one another, understanding that our union was something special to us, even if it was not to someone else. And it was something that was worth fighting for. And we had made a vow to one another till death do us part, not incarceration, not hard times, none of the things. But as long as we had our breath in our lungs and, you know, the vigor to get up and move and so forth, we were going to make sure that we stayed together at all costs.
I think that would probably just be one of the things that we would want to encourage your listening audience, Donnie and Darren, to do, is to hold on to each other. Oftentimes when difficult times arise in our lives, the first thing we do is get rid of somebody that's close to us. We attack, we target those people that are closest to us. And normally it's our family members. And instead of clinging to one another during the tough times, instead we create more conflict with one another during the tough times. So I would just challenge you to hold on, because it's better on the other side. And again, we are always stronger together than we can ever be apart.
That's good right there. I've been married for 7 months as we record this podcast.
Congratulations.
So
that's a word of encouragement I could take with me. So I appreciate you guys. I'd like to know, as you guys, I saw you guys develop a nonprofit. I'd like to know, how has you guys' purpose joining together since 2018, how has that continued to expand over these last 5 years?
Fight. We believe that to be free is to free others. And what God has done for us, we have been commissioned and ordained to do for other people. Our ministry, our nonprofit, is Rich Family Ministries. And we have an initiative called Participatory Defense Movement NOLA. PDMNOLA.org is our website. But we teach legal awareness to families that are justice involved. We are one hub that is practicing this model out of 40 hubs across our country. And we judge our success by how much time we save someone from serving time in prison versus how much time they actually serve. And so to date, our organization, we started 6 months after Rob came home from prison. And to date, 4 years later, we have saved 3,400 years of time behind bars, to include bringing home the longest serving woman in our country through clemency, as well as being able to change a resolution in law in 2021 that has given over 3,000 families an opportunity to come home on parole of people who thought that they were going to die there because they had such a lengthy sentence. So, that's the work that we do every day. And for those that may want to follow our work or find out more about what we're doing, our website is foxandrob.com and richfamilyministries.org, where they can find out more about that work there. And all of our handles as well are Fox and Rob.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
I love that you guys are essentially creating pathways back to freedom. And I feel like in my role as a teacher, teaching yoga, leading as a personal development or life coach, it's the same thing. It's creating pathways back to freedom, whether it's in a yoga class, if you're moving your body and breathing intentionally, you're moving energy, you're essentially freeing yourself from yourself or all of the things that the body remembers, because they say your issues are in your tissues. And so to be able to move that stuck energy and the trauma, the things and the emotions, the unwanted stuff that we push down, it's in there. So when you talk about creating pathways, that word freedom means it runs so deep for me, and maybe definitely in a different way than it maybe does for you too, because mine was rooted in the addiction and being bound in that. So I have a bracelet on my wrist that says the word freedom. And it's just, I want to be free. And in order to be free, it's about service and freeing others. So yeah, to be free is to free others. And it's the easiest way to get out of our own way is just to go help somebody else.
Yeah, yes. Well said, Donnie.
Yes.
Well
yes.
said.
And then I got one more for you, Donnie, too. You say like the intentions, I think you say it is where you set the course of your intentions, something about your intentions. What I say is where the mind goes, the behind follows.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, well, I want to thank you guys so much just for your story, for your resiliency individually and collectively. I feel like a lot of people will be blessed from hearing your story, seeing your story in the documentary, by going and checking you guys and your workout on the website. So we just want to thank you and honor you for taking the time in your life to spend a few minutes with us, because I feel like somebody's life is going to be changed from hearing this. So we just want to say thank you.
We thank you all. It takes a lot to take our mess and turn it into a message for other people and to be that vulnerable. So Donnie and Darren, we thank you for your vulnerability and how you're blessing our world by sharing your story and your truths. Thank you. That's right. Both.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm wondering if you can leave Darren and I and our listeners with a nugget of, maybe there's a couple out there they're just ready to throw in the towel. They're ready to give up. What would be some advice that you would give a couple that's just really struggling? They know they're struggling, but they don't know what to do about it.
I would give them the advice that Rob gave us when we were in our lowest moment during our marriage, about 13 years into incarceration. God just so happened to have him in a marriage and family counseling course. And what did you learn in that course, baby, that saved our marriage?
Probably one was, first of all, you have to get over yourself. But secondly, it is that you have to treat your relationships like a bank account. And the objective of a bank account pretty much holds true to that of a relationship. The main goal is to place far more deposits into the relationships than the withdrawals that you're going to take from time to time. But if you place enough deposits into the relationship, it can withstand some of the withdrawals that are just going to come with life, you know, as a whole. So by far, that was really one of the greatest takeaways that I had from the class. And crazy enough, the author's name was Gary Smalley. And the name of the book was Making Love Last Forever, Donnie. You know, just ironic that you even mentioned that just seconds ago. But yeah, that would probably be some of the greatest advice that I could give to young couples, aged couples, you know, and the likes is just
put more in and you take out.
That's it. Simple, simple.
Yeah, thank you so much to the both of you for coming on and sharing your story. And we love a good comeback. We love the people that are turning their mess into their message and their pain into their purpose. And you two are doing it, and it's a legit power couple. And it was an honor for you two to be our first duo here on Comeback Stories. So thanks again.
Well, we look forward to coming back. And for your listeners, your viewing audience, our book time is available. The book really goes further than the documentary into our truths along the way. And so the nuggets are there that you know, that we need to encourage us. So I would offer our book time, The Untold Story of the Love That Kept Us Together When Incarceration Kept Us Apart.
There you go. Go get it, listeners.
Go check that out. Go check that out. We out.
Y'all be blessed. Yeah. Not so much.
Peace.
Comeback Stories is a production of Inflection Network and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.